This is Pastor Tom Martin of Knox Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Silver Spring, Maryland, inviting you to worship God on this Lord's Day evening, February 21st, 2021. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Son given to us, who now stands in the presence of God on our behalf. You and I are easily distracted. Sometimes we don't think about things as deeply as we should. Psalm 136 reminds us to ponder the Lord's steadfast love. It endures forever. And the psalm keeps on driving that message home, repeating the words verse after verse. His steadfast love endures forever. What are we to do in response? Well, we should praise and worship such a loving God, and God himself invites us to do so. Listen to his call to worship. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. People of God, peace be unto you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are well used to things that are temporary and fleeting and short-lived, things that disappear and leave us disappointed. We pray that you'd open our eyes now to look at the things, not those that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And your steadfast love endures forever. Woo our hearts all over again with your love. You loved the world enough that you gave your only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We pray that we would hear your voice, for your voice is sweet. And you have poured your love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We pray that he will show us again the greatness of your steadfast love for us in Jesus, the one in whose name we pray. Amen. At this time, you may pause this recording and sing the words of Trinity Hymnal number 21. Sing praise to the Lord. Praise him in the height. Trinity Hymnal number 21. And now we read from the New Testament, Paul's letter to the Philippians. We're going to read Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. As we read, you'll see that Paul has learned an important lesson. And like any good lesson, it should be passed on to others. In this case, Paul wants his Philippian friends to know that even though he really doesn't have a lot of stuff, he does have the thing that really matters, a loving God who cares, who hears, and who provides for the deep needs of his beloved children. And Paul doesn't want his friends to be anxious. So listen as he spells out for his friends what he has learned. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Here's God's word. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. That's the word of God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your thoughtful love toward us, your attentiveness to our needs, the wisdom that you exercise in providing for us. You've made us in your own image. You've given us minds to think with, and you've told us that we're to love you with all of our mind. But we confess, sometimes we think the way the world thinks. You've told us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewal of our minds, so that by testing we can discern what is your will, what is good and acceptable and perfect. But sometimes we've been very lazy. We've thought the way the world thinks. We've accepted its attitudes uncritically. We've flirted with its follies and we've embraced its lies. We ask that you would give to us the mind of Christ, that we'll have the posture of eager disciples who say, "Teach me your way, O Lord." Disciples who lay up your word in our hearts so that we'll not sin against you. Give us discipline to study your word so that the word of Christ may dwell in us richly. And we thank you for the ones who have taught us. We remember that you've told us that those who are taught should share all good things with the one who teaches. And so we pray that you'd help us to take advantage of their wisdom, but to affirm them in their labors, to learn from their example, and follow their instruction. We pray for our denomination's Committee on Christian Education, and we ask that you'd be pleased to bless its endeavours. We pray for the OPC website that receives so many visits from across the country and around the world. We ask that it would provide much solid contact for those who click on it, who are seeking information and answers. We pray for the work of New Horizons. Help us to use that to be informed about the things our denomination is doing so that we can pray and participate. We pray for Great Commission Publications producing good Sunday school materials, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the way that has profited our congregation and our young people over so many years, and we ask that the congregations of your church will be enriched by materials like that to provide good instruction for a young generation in your abiding truth. We pray for our own church library and those who maintain it. We ask that we would be readers of good books, that we'd be knowledgeable in doctrine, that we'd be students of your word, making good use of the tools that you provide to help us mine the riches of your word. Help us to be discerning, well able to distinguish between truth and falsehood. Give us hearts that gladly receive your instruction, that say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, and for his sake. Amen. Tonight we return to the Old Testament, to 1 Samuel. We'll read this evening from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. We're not always very good at saying thank you. A godly person will take time to consider the Lord's kindnesses. Psalm 116 gives us a good example of that. It starts out with this testimony: "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy." And then later on it asks this thoughtful question: "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me?" Now here's Hannah. She loves the Lord because he has heard her voice and her cries for mercy. And she knows just what she's going to render to the Lord for all his benefits to her. Listen, here's God's word. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we begin to read at verse 19. "They rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, 'I have asked for him from the Lord.' The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, 'As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever.' Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him, only may the Lord establish his word.' So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli, and she said, 'O my Lord, As you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. That's God's word. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you now with this petition. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to fear your name. Amen. What in the world was I thinking? Have you ever said that? Hannah might have said that. After all, she's just promised her firstborn child to the Lord. We might hear that promise and say, well, that was a rash promise. Those were words spoken in desperation. Maybe she was trying to bribe God. And certainly some time has passed since Hannah made that vow and she's not been seen in Shiloh. And we might think, well, Hannah has reneged. God hasn't answered. Things haven't turned out the way Hannah had indicated they would. But lo and behold, here she is back in Shiloh and she's speaking to Eli and she's pointing to this child and she's saying to Eli, this is the child that I prayed for. God heard, God answered my prayers. Here he is and I'm giving him to the Lord. God's decisive intervention in response to Hannah's prayer concentrated Hannah's mind wonderfully. Hannah is reflecting and thinking deeply about the kindness that God has shown to her. She's been thinking about God's generosity. She's been thinking about the words of promise that she made, and she's thinking about the things that really matter. And those are three things that we want to consider from our passage this evening. Hannah is someone who has given deep thought to God's generosity. In verse 27, she says, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. God is a generous God. He's a lavish God. And like a good and wise parent, he doesn't always give us the things that we want. And sometimes we focus on the things that God has chosen to withhold from us. And that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, doesn't it? When Adam and Eve had a huge garden to choose from, but with only one tree that they were forbidden to touch. And of course, they become fixated and preoccupied, not on what God has given them, but on what God has withheld from them in his wisdom. And so easily we mischaracterize God. And we need to remind ourselves that our God is a good God who gives good things to his the children whom he loves. As Psalm 103 verse 2 urges us, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We're very forgetful sometimes. And we don't take time to remember and store up in our memories the good things that God has done for us. And here's Hannah now. God has done something good for her. She has got a son. His name is Samuel. And that name sounds very like the Hebrew word for ask. So that Hannah's constantly reminded every time she thinks of her son, she remembers that this is the son that she asked God for. And God gave her that son. His appearance is not as a result of some accident. His appearance is a gesture of kindness on the part of God. And what a wonderful thing that is to be able to say, God has given a son. The prophet Isaiah reminds us that God has given a son to us. To us a child is born. To us a son is given. The familiar words of Isaiah 9 verse 6. God sent his son. He gave us a son to be our very own savior. And Paul picks up on that, and you'll remember how in Romans chapter 8, Paul draws he connects the dots, doesn't he? He says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him graciously give us all things? See, we look at the Lord Jesus and we remember that God is a generous God. Now, you might be preoccupied with the things that God has chosen to withhold from you. But the scripture urges us to remember that God has given us his son. He's given us a savior. And we can start out by pondering that, meditating on that, reflecting on what that means. contemplating the benefits that come with Jesus, our Savior, the inheritance that's ours, the standing that we have before God, the status as sons and daughters. And as we start to reflect on what God has given to us, then our hearts begin to be drawn out in praise and gratitude. And Hannah, you see, doesn't just think about God's generosity. She speaks about it, doesn't she? She acknowledges what God has done. She testifies to Eli about God's goodness. And that's a great thing for us to do as well, to speak to others about the ways that God has blessed us. We ask others to pray for our needs. What a great thing to be able to ask others to unite with us in giving thanks to God for the ways in which he has generously answered our prayers. So she thinks about God's generosity and she thinks about her own words. Words really matter. And Hannah was a woman of her word. She'd given her word. She'd made a vow. Verse 11 tells us she vowed a vow, and her vow, of course, was that the child would be the Lord's. Sometimes we promise rashly. We say we'll do things and we don't follow through. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 5 tells us it's better that we should not vow than that we should vow and not pay. Don't say what you don't mean. Hannah's family was a vow-keeping family. And of course, God's people are a vow-keeping people. God's people should keep their word. Hannah's family was a family that modeled good vow-keeping. We see that in verse 21. Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. Now, we're not told what the vow was precisely, but we're told that Elkanah followed through and kept on following through. He kept on doing what he'd said that he would do. And Elkanah encouraged Hannah to keep her vow. In verse 23, he says to her, "Do what seems best to you." And then he adds, "May God establish his word." Now, we know that God always keeps his word. He always follows through on the things that he has said, the things that he has promised. Great is thy faithfulness. We sing that, don't we? Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. God is as good as his word. And Elkanah held on to that truth. And Elkanah modeled that kind of faithful vow keeping, faithful covenant keeping in his household, and he encouraged Hannah in it. Now, you might think of vows that you've made, perhaps marriage vows, perhaps baptismal vows, perhaps membership vows, maybe just things that you've informally spoken to someone. You've said, "I'm going to do this." We're to follow through. We're to keep our word, unless we've made a rash vow or promised something that's unlawful or unwise. But in the normal course of events, our word should be our bond. We should follow through, and we should encourage our brothers and sisters to follow through on the vows they've made, the commitments they've undertaken, pledges that they've taken. And what a great thing it is that God himself exemplifies and models that for us. He is faithful to his word. He's a faithful God who forgives sinners. Isn't that right? And keeps on forgiving sinners. John telling us in chapter 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are faithless. Remember Paul's words to Timothy. We're faithless. He remains faithful. And so we keep coming back to him, asking his forgiveness, seeking his grace and his mercy. In the words of Charlotte Elliott's hymn, "Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come, I come." God's promises are trustworthy. Because we believe in God's promises, we are emboldened to come to him, to claim what is ours in Jesus. So Hannah gives thought to what she's promised. She keeps her word. And she also gives thought to the things that really matter, the things that are really important. Now, we get preoccupied with things that are transient and things that are vain and trivial. Hannah thinks about the things that are really important. What's going to be the very best thing for her son? What does she want for him? That he'll be rich? That he'll be famous? That he'll be powerful? No. Her desire for her son is that he will be the Lord's. Listen to verse 22. As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Literally, Hannah's desire for her son is that he may appear before God's face. She wants her son to be in the place where God's presence, with which God's presence was associated, up there in Shiloh, where the tabernacle was kept. She wants her son to be in God's presence. She wants him to be appearing before God constantly. Isn't that a wonderful thing? What's your ambition for your child? What are your ambitions for the people that you care about? What are your own ambitions? That you be in the presence of God. Isn't that right? One thing have I desired, that will I seek after. Remember the psalmist's words? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord and inquire of his presence. Psalm 27 verse 8. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. I want to be in the presence of the Lord. I want to enjoy the Lord's blessing. The words of the Aaronic blessing. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. The great blessing on the people of God. Not that they'll be powerful, not that they'll be mighty, not that they'll be affluent, but that they will enjoy God's favor and be in God's presence. And now here's Hannah with her child, with this son that she prayed for. And now it's time. Is Hannah going to go back on her word? Is she going to change her mind? No. Hannah has no regrets whatsoever. She gives her son to be in the presence of God, serving him in Shiloh. And what a wonderful thing it is as we contemplate Hannah's surrender of her son. That God our Father surrendered his son, not just to die for us, but to be raised up again and to be in the presence of God our Father on our behalf. Because he lives, we live also. God lifts us up in Jesus Christ and seats us in his presence in the heavenly realms. There's something that really matters. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you that you are faithful. We thank you that all your promises find their yes, find their amen in the Lord Jesus. We pray that you would increase our faith, that you would give us a deep commitment to you. And we pray that that commitment might be a commitment, a resolve that we would hold, that we by your grace would hold fast to the very end. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, you may pause this recording and sing the words of Trinity Hymnal number 98. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices. Trinity Hymnal number 98. And now, people of God, lift up your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction with joy and thankfulness. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and always. Amen.